We can have an impact on this world, church, when we decide just to go through the blazing furnace and trust in God. All right, let me ask this question real quick. Has everyone, have you ever heard the saying, have you heard the question that they don't have to look for trouble? Trouble just always seems to find them. Anyone hear that? Yes? And okay, I'm gonna close my eyes for this. Is anyone here, and I'm raising my hand because it is me, is that person where trouble always seems to find them? Okay, please raise your hands. Because I don't want to be the only one. Thank you. I was like, okay, I guess I'm the only one that gets in trouble in this church. You guys are all perfect. Come on. Anyways, I remember a time in middle school. Lunch was coming to an end. I had to use the restroom. So I'm hustling to the restroom. I go to the restroom that's in the corner of the cafeteria. It's connected to the boys' locker room. I go in, I open the door, and I hear a bunch of nonsense and ruckus going on, and it stops. And as soon as I walk in, it starts again because two guys looked at me, two kids. They were in there vandalizing the restroom. And so I quickly use the restroom, like a good boy, ran to the sink, washed my hands, and I'm washing my hands. Boom! A firecracker goes off. They let a firecracker go off. They run out the exit through the boys' locker room. I run out the exit towards the cafeteria. As I exit the door, here comes a yard duty. You guys remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called school security now, right? Politically correct. And so the yard duty grabs my arm, takes me in the bathroom and said, "What have you done?" I said, "I didn't do it." She takes me to the principal's office. And the worst thing of all, church, comes from a lot of trauma in my life. My mom was also a yard duty at my school. And so they take me to the principal's office. I said, "I swear I didn't do it." Well, nobody believes me because I'm the only one exiting, and I was running because I was scared. And so they say, "You're guilty." And about 2 months after that, I had to stay after school and clean all the bathrooms in the junior high. Not fair, right? Even though I didn't do it. But God tells us, right, that we're going to deal with trials. We're going to deal with trouble. Trouble is going to come our way, and some of it is our own making. A lot of my troubles come from my own making. Could be sickness, could be tragedy, natural disaster, or just pure malevolence, right? Evil people. But we see here in John 16:33, it says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You know, when I first read this, I'm like, man, I must be super spiritual because I get in trouble all the time, so I am good. But the question is, church, in times of trouble, in times of trials in our life, how do you handle it? Do you handle like the world wants us to handle it, with either revenge, I'm going to get back at you, with hate, with defeat, maybe avoidance? Or do you handle those trials and troubles and situations like God wants us to, with a heart of worship? Today we're going to look at a classic story from the Bible, where three men find themselves in trouble and they did nothing wrong. Actually, they were doing everything right. They were worshiping the one true Lord, and they get in trouble. So if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel, and we are going to see how these three men handle these troubles and situations and trials with a heart of worship. So we're not going to read the whole story. We are going to have some story time, but if I went through the whole story, we'd be here for like 2 hours. So we see here in this story, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he had ordered his chief court official to choose some of the Israelites to enter his king's service. Now, if you read some of the before, they say, go choose people with no defects, men of no defects, the best of the best to serve in the king's service. So we pick up the story in Daniel 1, 6 to 7. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. And the intent of the name changes was to change their identity and to their life match their name. They wanted them to be Babylonians, right? Not be identified with their Hebrew life. And we've seen that in history, right, with indigenous tribes. But church, today, right, the Bible is so relevant because this world wants to change our identity. This world today doesn't want anyone to identify as a Christian. They don't want us to identify with Jesus Christ, right? It's about consuming. not serving, right? It's about money and likes, quick money. Be deceitful. That's okay. The church wants to change our identity. We can't let that happen. So we're going to go ahead and skip to Daniel 3, but real quick, we see here prior to this is King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. He has this dream of a statue. Daniel interprets the dream. And so King Nebuchadnezzar builds this massive statue, right? And he makes this decree across the land that says, when you hear these musical instruments, you need to bow down to the statue. Well, we see in the story that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not, right? They don't worship any other gods except the one true God. And when the instruments happen, they don't bow down. Some of the officials see this, go back to King Nebuchadnezzar, and tattletales, right? Or in my business, they go and snitch on the three of them. Goes to King Nebuchadnezzar, hey, when the music happens, they're not bowing down. So King Nebuchadnezzar says, bring those three to me. I'll deal with them. And that's where you pick up the story. You guys ready for some story time?
Yeah.
All right. So now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of God's." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God," right now recognizing the Most High God, "come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save this way." Amen. What a great story.
Yeah.
That's right. So quickly, before we continue, let's answer the question, right? What is a heart of worship? How do we handle trials and troubles with a heart of worship? Well, we see a heart of worship in 1 Corinthians 10:31, right? Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That is a heart of worship. Do it all for the glory of God. We see a heart of worship in Isaiah 55:8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways are your ways," right? Understanding that God knows best. Trusting in God, trusting in his understanding and his decisions. We see a heart of worship in Proverbs 3. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding," right? That's a heart of worship. Understanding that God knows best. And a heart of worship, church, really means being fully devoted to God in everything that you do. The first point I have for you is the heart of worship is faithful. The heart of worship is faithful. And God can strengthen our faith in any way he wants. But I believe that God strengthens our faith the best in times of troubles, in times of blazing furnaces, in times of horrible situations. And in this story, you know, the Bible doesn't say it, and I don't think any of the three were sitting there and said, maybe we should reconsider this, right? Man, they heated it up 7 times hotter. Maybe we should just bow down and it'll be all good. No, there was no second guessing. This, we are going to worship our one true God. We won't bow down to other gods. And we see in the text that none of them claim to know what their circumstances will hold. If we see the if or what their God would do, but they were committed to their faith, even in the face of a very painful death. And we see in the scripture there that even though they affirmed that their God was able to deliver them, they add this. They say this, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We may look at this text and say, but if? Really, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're gonna doubt? You should believe, right? Without doubt. But we see in the text that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not operate on this popular notion, especially that we have today, that we have exceptional confidence in particular outcomes. Right? Faith is not a feeling. It's not that I feel. No. It's not an exceptional confidence in particular outcomes. Right? Faith is not a feeling. We see the three faithful men understood that real faith, church, locks on to God. We pray for him for what we think is right, but we trust in God to do what's ultimately best. And that is an extremely hard truth to understand. Because when we go with feelings, right, and God doesn't answer our prayers, we begin to avoid God sometimes. We blame God, but it's not God. God does not fail, church. God never fails. But we see what they knew, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew, and they had deep faith in, is if they lived, right, they knew their God was near. But even if they died, they still knew that their God was near. And we see this example from Jesus Christ, right? Before he goes to the cross, Jesus went through the hottest blazing furnace ever, right? Not for himself, not to refine himself, but for us, to die on the cross for our sins. But we see in Matthew 26:39, we see Jesus say, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And I love this verse because it shows the humanity of Jesus Christ. Who here hasn't said this prayer? Lord, just take this cup of suffering from me. Lord, if you answer my prayer, I will follow you forever. Right? But do we ever end the prayer with, however, yet, I want your will be done, not mine. So trusting in the Lord, regardless of the answer, regardless of the situation. The next point is the heart of worship doesn't fear the fire. The heart of worship doesn't fear the fire. You know what the Bible says about fear? It says, fear not. Yeah. I think fear not appears a little bit over 80 times in the Bible, and fear not throughout the Bible we see is often followed with, for the Lord your God is with you. Right. Fear not, for the Lord of God is with you. We see two verses here, Psalms 112:6-8. I actually work in a juvenile hall, and one of my youth in the juvenile hall gave me this verse. I keep it on my desk. He printed it out and cut it out. But Psalms 112:6-8 says this, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes." Isaiah 43:2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." And I love this verse, right? It reminds me of how fulfilling the Christian life can be. If you want to be a rebel in this world, church, be a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? Be a rebel. Be a follower of Jesus Christ. Accept him. That's what a rebel is these days in this world. Like, a lot of people talk about the Christian life is not fulfilling. You know, we have the FOMO, fear of missing out. Well, I want to do what the world does. Man, the life of a Christian is exciting. Just ask some of the missionaries and the missions, ask the team when they come back, how fulfilling and exciting and how much trouble they get into. We had a missionary from Peru, as a matter of fact, who talked about where they had to go miles to get in this destination, but they had to go through these impassable rivers, so the water was almost going over the car, and they made it. How exciting. We see a lot of missionaries throughout the world, right, escaping death, some of them unfortunately dying for their belief and for preaching the gospel, but they still had trust regardless, and they're still walking with Jesus Christ. We see him being poor, right, having nowhere to sleep. Ask some of the missionaries about the miracles they have seen because they chose to go through the blazing furnace and trust in God. Ask Gabrielle and Gabby, who are missionaries in Casa Esperanza. Ask them about how many children have been saved, how many battered women in Mexico are now safe and giving their lives to Jesus Christ. You talk about two people who daily go through the blazing furnace and make the choice to trust in God. For others, the Christian life is exciting. You're not missing out on anything. So let's get back to the book of Daniel. Daniel 3, 24 to 25. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of God's." You talk about exciting. You know, the text doesn't say it, but it was surely Jesus walking with them. Man, they got to have a conversation. What did they talk about? Right? Did Jesus say how proud their father was of them for walking through the blazing furnace with faith, with trust in God? Did they say how proud their father was for walking in it with a heart of worship, not a heart of this world? You see, this furnace, which looked like the end of their lives, turned out to be the most exciting and greatest experience they ever had. And you know what they knew? Even if they had died, they would have been okay, right? It still would have been the greatest experience of their life. Even if the blazing furnace took their life, because you know what, church? They still would have walked with Jesus Christ. They still would have walked with Jesus Christ. I don't know where I found this quote, but I keep it in my back pocket for days like today when I do speak. But it's awesome. I just love it. It lifts me up. It says, "The place where full devotion to worship can lead you can look scary, dangerous, painful, and maybe even like the end. But it turns out to be where Jesus is, and amazingly enough, is the safest place of all." The next point is our victory in the blazing furnace will be some of our greatest testimonies. Our vision here at Fusion Christian Church is to what? Love God, love others, and tell everyone. Amen. Right? And there's no better way to tell everyone than to choose to go through the blazing furnace, go through the trials with joy, trusting in the Lord. And we see in this story through the blazing furnace, we see that not only does King Nebuchadnezzar witness this, but he's got all his big dogs around him, right? He's got his governors, his prefects, all his officials that witness this. And we see that Nebuchadnezzar says this, and he orders them out of the furnace, saying, "Servants of the Most High God." I love that, right? Recognizing the Most High God. "Come out, come here." And they all see that nothing happened to them. The only thing that was burned away were the ropes. Think of the impact it had on those people. Think if social media was around back then. How awesome would that be? Be crazy on Instagram. I mean, what's it called, viral? Right? But you see also, when we go through the trials, when we go through the blazing furnaces, we see here that the ropes, the only thing that was removed were the ropes. And sometimes the ropes of this world that can hold us back from fulfilling what God's plans are removed when we decide to go through the blazing furnace. We become disentangled from this world. It no longer is holding us down. And we see here King Nebuchadnezzar goes on to make a decree that no one shall say anything against the Most High God. Just think of the magnitude of this event. How many people's lives were changed? How many people are like, wow, that is the Most High God that God saves? You know, our testimonies, church, can have an impact now and can have an impact on generations to come. A couple years ago, I like to read, go through the year plan, the reading year plan of the Bible on the Bible app. And a couple years ago, they would have a devotion before you actually read the Bible, kind of what, give a little devotion about what you're going to read about. Made it real difficult to read because it made it that much longer for me, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, now I have to read the devotional plus the Bible. That's just me complaining about something that I shouldn't complain about. But in this devotional, it was awesome. This devotional was about a 17-year-old boy. At 1 year old, he had severely broken his back. And by the age of 17 years old, he had spent 13 years of his life in the hospital. And a pastor went to church and prayed for him. And the pastor asked this young boy at 17 this one question: do you believe God is fair? And the boy answered, yes, I believe that God is fair. He's got all of eternity to make it up to me. Right? That's awesome. You know, we see characters throughout the Bible here, right, that went through the blazing furnace. We also have people here at church. Nick Martinez, who's up here playing the bass, he gave me permission to share his story. At one point in his life, he had decided it was done. He was going to commit suicide. It was it. That was it. He made the decision. He was addicted to drugs. He was going through a hard time, had a lot of trauma in his past. He grew up with not knowing God. He grew up with family members even against God, saying, oh, God's not real. We had an uncle that kind of talked to him, right? Planted the seeds. That's why it's so important for us to plant the seeds. And so with Nick going through this hard time, something started to stir up in him. Jesus began to tug on his heart. And he said, look, I'm going to meet you in the, even though he didn't know this story probably at the time, he decided, I'm going to meet Jesus in the blazing furnace. He looks up, he Googles churches, finds Fusion Christian Church, comes to church, all nervous as get out, right? Man, when I walk through that door, psh, lightning's going to strike me. Comes to church, God starts stirring in his heart. He gets invited to the men's breakfast, and something at that men's breakfast just changes him. The Lord just begins to untangle all that mess that this world has created. He begins to see the truth, right? He then gives his life to Jesus Christ. His fiancée, Cammie, then gives her life to Jesus Christ and gets baptized, right? Love God, love others, tell everyone. Then Ryan, one of his friends, comes to church, gives his life to Jesus Christ, gets baptized. His wife, Lauren, gives her life to Jesus Christ and gets baptized. Clayton gives his life to Jesus Christ and gets baptized. Kayla gives her life to Jesus Christ and gets baptized. Woo-hoo! Yes. Right, you talk about the testimony. We can have an impact on this world, church, when we decide just to go through the blazing furnace and trust in God. And these testimonies remind me of these two verses, Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord our God, he is the one that goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, right? Like the boy in the hospital. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And too often I forget about what God has for me, his promise for me in eternity. And when I go through the trials and troubles, right, maybe it's with defeat, avoidance, or regret, or what have you, but I forget and I need to trust God because he's got so much for me in eternity, right? For all of us. So church, if we want to surrender to God and really have a complete heart of worship, if we want the things of this world that tie us down to be lifted, and if we really, as Christians, we should want to see other people's lives changed, right? Other people coming to Jesus Christ, we must choose to meet Jesus in the furnace. My last point, a heart of worship chooses to meet Jesus in the furnace. During my life, I've had many furnaces. But one blazing furnace I had to go through was in a land called Knott's Berry Farm. Anyone been to Knott's Berry Farm? So it used to be a tradition for my family to go to Knott's Berry Farm in December during the Christmas months. Because Knott's Berry Farm, they have the little ice skating show. And the ice skating show, they used to tell the story of Jesus' birth. So it was awesome. So we used to go there in December, and we would take my little sister-in-law, who's the difference of my wife and her in age is quite a bit. So we'd take her to have fun. Well, we were walking by this ride, if you guys have been to Knott's Berry Farm, called Supreme Scream. Anyone ever been on that ride here? All right, it's a free fall ride, right? It takes you up to about 26,000 feet and just drops you. It felt like 26,000 feet. So my sister-in-law is like, hey, come on, Uncle, will you go with me? I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go. But it's a free fall, right? It's just a seat. Your legs are dangling. There's nothing to your right, to your left. You just put on this little, whatever, harness and buckle in. So I take my sunglasses. So I put my sunglasses on so I can close my eyes and so no one can see me close my eyes and see what a wimp I am because I'm deathly afraid of heights. So I get on the ride. My sister-in-law gets in the ride, buckle and get my sunglasses, close my eyes, and just praying to the Lord to save me. The ride begins to go up. I'm just white-knuckling it. All of a sudden, I hear a click in front of me. I'm like, what is that click? I open my eyes, and my seatbelt came undone. My sister-in-law had actually stuck her little hand in and unclicked my seatbelt. I'm like, what are you doing? So I lock it back in, close my eyes. We're about 20,000 feet. I can feel I can't breathe very well. And I hear another click. I open my eyes. She did it again. Unclick my seatbelt. I'm like, you're going to kill your uncle. What are you doing? Lock it back in. We get to the top. We free fall. Praise the Lord, I'm still here. Right? But ever since then, every time we would go to Knott's Berry Farm after that, I would completely avoid that area. I did not want to go to be called a wimp. Ah, remember when you were crying? And then seriously, my daughter Alyssa, every time we would go, they're like, come on, Dad, just go on the ride. I'm like, no, even my son. And they're just, oh, Dad, you're just a wimp. Oh, big bad guy, afraid of heights. So I just avoid it so I didn't have to go through that, you know, teasing and the trauma that my kids put into my life at Knott's Berry Farm. But just as it was my goal, right, to avoid that ride with everything in me at Knott's Berry Farm, sometimes our goal can become furnace avoidance. We can avoid the furnaces. Our normal strategy a lot of times, church, is to try and escape the difficulties, right? Try to escape the pain. Try to escape the hard road. But we see that Scripture consistently teaches us that flourishing is not in avoiding furnaces. Flourishing is in furnaces. So God calls us to a heart of worship, to walk in the furnace, church, because he has something better for us. We see in Psalms 31:24, so be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. Be strong and courageous, church. God's got the best for you in all times, in all trials, in all troubles. And I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what blazing furnace you need to choose to go through. It could be mending a relationship with your wife, with your husband, with a friend. It could be a financial problem that you're going through. It could be anything, but maybe it's something also that you just want to get out of. Maybe it's something you just want to get out of, but God's plan is to have you right where you are so he can use you. Don't forget about that. You know, God, the fire refines. God may want to refine you and mature your walk and draw you closer to him. He may want to remove the ropes, right? We see in the story that the strongest soldiers tied him up. God may want to burn those ropes off and unentangle you from this world of just messiness. He wants you to have a closer relationship with him. And maybe there's a Nebuchadnezzar in your life that God wants to reach through you. Think of the impact that it had on them. So do me a favor, use your imagination, right? If you've ever seen SpongeBob, imagination. So use your imagination. picture God's calendar, right? God has this huge calendar. And way back in the time of Daniel, God has on his calendar, on the date that this event happens, meet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, in the furnace. What happens if they never showed up? What happens if they avoided that situation, if they decided to bow down and this event never happened? This event and this Bible story that continues to have an eternal impact, continues to have an impact on us, never happens if they chose to avoid. So where does God on his calendar have your name written down? Right? Hey, Jason, meet you in the furnace. Dan, meet you in the furnace. Catherine, meet you in the furnace. Beth, meet you in the furnace. Where does God have you on his calendar? Meet you in the furnace. When your heart of worship is tested, what will you choose? Will you choose to go through it with a heart of worship? Or will you choose to go through how the world wants us to? What will your testimony be? And will it call others to have a heart of worship? See, God tells us, you know, fear not. Though you pass through the flames, they will not burn you. They will not destroy you. Church, I promise you, God promises, Jesus promises to meet you in the furnace. Trust him, believe in him, have confidence in him, and trust that he's going to make, ultimately, make the right decision in your life.